Let's pray together. Dear God, this morning we come before you with joy in our hearts that you call us your people and that we call you once again our God. We thank you for your promises and the ways that you continue to call us your own people. In the name of Jesus, amen. Once upon a time, two babies were born who had to wear the entire sin of God's people. A little girl and a little boy. I wonder if the little girl had long black hair and liked to play hide and seek. And I wonder if the little boy liked to climb trees. Their mom was a woman who had not made the best life choices. And I imagine that they had a pretty rough life. But I cannot imagine the conversations the little girl and the little boy had to have on the playground. So the little girl is on the swings. And another little girl comes and gets on the swing next to her and says, "My name's Stacy. What's your name?" And at that point, the little girl with the long black hair and the not-so-proper mom sighs. She sighs because she has to say her name. No mercy. And at that point, Stacy shrieks, "What? What kind of name is that?" No Mercy's little brother is over on the monkey bars. And another little boy climbs up, and a similar scenario plays out. "What's up, man?" The new kid comes up and asks No Mercy's little brother. "Just climbing," the little brother replies, at which point the new kid grunts as he climbs up too. "I'm Todd, what's your name?" We are not the people of God. "What did you just say?" Todd replies, confused and a tad past offended. "That's my name. We are not the people of God." And that's when Todd starts crying and runs to his mom. And then the little sister and the little brother walk home with their shoulders hunched over. Because this sort of thing happens every time. They have to say their names to kids, to substitute teachers, and to distant relatives. If you're ever in the mood for a story that begins in a way that is certain to make you sad, look no further than the book of Hosea in the Bible, where two little kids are constant reminders to their town that God has removed His mercy and that God has stopped calling them His people. In a nutshell, that is the backstory to the book of 1 Peter. In a nutshell, that is the backstory too of why the book of 1 Peter for the early churches who confessed Jesus is so meaningful. 1 Peter 2 is an invitation. And like any invitation, you can say yes, or you can say no. Totally, 100% up to you. It's your choice. In fact, it's really a series of invitations. But, and let's never say we weren't warned about this, if we say yes to one, we say yes to all of them. But if we say no to one, we say no to all of them as well. But the good news is that the first one, the first big picture invitation that comes, as long as we keep saying yes to that one first big picture invitation, it makes all the other ones that much easier. It doesn't make them easy, but it makes them easier. And that first big picture one is come to Jesus. What's it going to be? Yes or no? And this is a daily thing. This is not something that, well, this is a beautiful Sunday morning. I mean, we're probably right now, we're kind of primed, all in the mood that when we hear that 1 Peter 2 invitation. Come to Jesus. I mean, most of us, even if we woke up this morning in a bad mood, are going to, oh, yes. I mean, you're at church on a lovely Sunday morning. What else are you going to say when someone says, come say yes to Jesus? Well, we just got finished singing, Here I Am to Worship. Of course we're going to say yes to Jesus this morning. But, you know, it's Sunday, but Monday's coming, Tuesday's coming, and this is an invitation to say yes to Jesus on the days when we're not kind of primed and reminded. So what's it going to be, yes or no? All the other invitations are really tied up together in that big picture invitation. And the thing that's so great about this is that if you say yes to moving your life toward Jesus, then all you have to really do after that is talk about the way that Jesus brought us from the darkness of the world into the light of Christ. That's one of the things that you're going to hear 1 Peter 2 say, is that then we proclaim with our lives and even the things that we say. You know that saying that shows up on Christian refrigerator magnets and cross stitches and all that, that says, you know, preach the gospel, use words when necessary? I can't stand that saying. I just, I'm a preacher for Pete's sake. This is what I do for a living, is talk about God. So you have to say this stuff out loud. So yeah, there is an element that says we have to live this. I get that. But 1 Peter 2 says when you say yes to come to Jesus, go talk about it. Of course we've got to live this, but go talk about it. Tell the story. Tell people about this invitation where we say yes to Jesus out loud, but then after we come to Jesus, we go tell. We tell the story. Here's darkness, here's light. Here's yes, here's no. Which is it? What do we say? And we can say a lot of other things. I mean, you can say thank you, but really, it's about living our lives in daily gratitude by talking and living in such a way that reflects the ways that every day Jesus brings us from the darkness of the world into the light of Christ. And then, echoing through time, reverberations of mercy and love that go all through the centuries. A story told by Hosea and his family long, long ago. Something happens in that story too. See, the first part of the story, where we learn the names of the little girl and the little boy, the story doesn't end there. You see, somewhere along the way, this story told long ago by Hosea and his family, something happens. And you know what happens? The names of the two little kids are changed. They're legally changed. From names that make other little kids cry on the playground to names that tell the story of God's forgiveness, God's redeeming mercy and love. It names that tell the ultimate yes, which is our ultimate yes when we say yes to the first invitation, which is
come to Jesus. At one point, way, way back in the story of Hosea's two little kids, and there's more, but these two little kids kind of take center stage in the story for a little while. What's your name? No mercy. What's your name? We're not the people of God. Then, they get better names. And the story that 1 Peter 2 tells is that that not only happens to two little kids centuries ago, that this morning, in the hearing of the word of the Lord, it happens to us too. So hear the word of the Lord from 1 Peter 2, 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, come to Him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals and yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying a stone in Zion, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, He is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do." But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's own people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We are, by His mercy, God's own people. Amen.